I'm looking at my commodity screen on my Bloomberg terminal. That would be GLCO for you terminal users out there. I see a lot of red across the screen. Concerns about global growth stoked by the coronavirus, certainly. But a couple of areas that really stand out on the positive side would be spot gold, up 10.4% year to date. To get a sense of what's going on in the world of precious and base metals, we welcome Everett Millman, precious metals specialist at Gainesville Coins, based in Gainesville, Florida. But joining us here in our Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio, Everett, thanks so much for joining us here in our studio. Let's start with gold. We were just talking about before going on air, and Lisa was pointing out the nice run gold has had. What's kind of your sense for what's really driving it, and kind of where can this thing go?
Thanks, Paul. Obviously, the coronavirus is having a major effect. You can't deny that the damage to global supply chains is layering on top of what was already a slowing global economy. People are fearful, and gold is definitely absorbing that safe haven flight. We're seeing a lot of flight to quality, and that means gold, treasuries, and the U.S. dollar. But we still haven't had a lot of resolution in the trade war. I think that what's interesting about the impact of the coronavirus is that it's causing some pullback on the agreement, the phase one agreement that China and the U.S. came to. That China, because their economy is at a standstill, they really can't meet any of the stipulations that they agreed to. They're not going to be able to increase their agricultural purchases. They're not going to be able to be that bedrock for the global economy right now. So I think that gold is the obvious place for investors to go when there is so much uncertainty still around this trade dispute that has gone on for many, many months before the coronavirus even broke out.
So let's dig a little bit deeper into some of the technicals here, because as you mentioned, uncertainty really is the prevailing word of the day. And I think, Paul, it's really interesting to see the size and scope for so many markets today as 2016, right as Brexit was really front and center and kind of driving a lot of market action. Another time of significant uncertainty. If you strip that away and today's moves, which are perhaps going to be portrayed as knee-jerk removes, moves in hindsight, we shall see. What is the momentum in general for gold, you know, just generally given where we're at economically, given the fact that all things being equal, the U.S. and China have come to some sort of trade truce?
Right. And I think that that positive momentum is undeniable.
So it's still there even without this knee-jerk reaction.
Correct. And I think that there was a similar sort of dynamic during the Iran crisis, that gold jumped right after the news, and everyone expected to see a sell-off following that, and we really didn't get it. We have climbed higher from that $1,500 range since then. From a technical perspective, gold certainly appears to be overbought right now. The RSI is very high. It's well above its 50-day moving average and its 200-day moving average, so I think we could see some profit-taking. But the general narrative is still certainly in place that gold looks like it could test as high as 1750 in the coming months.
And I guess the all-time high back in 2012 was 1770, so we're pretty close to that. I mean, I'm also looking at silver. Again, gold up about 10% year-to-date, silver only up about 5%. Is that underperformance for silver? Should I take note of that at all?
Sure. I mean, heretofore, silver has been lagging gold, partly because it relies so much on industrial demand. So everything with the coronavirus and the slowing of the Chinese economy has dragged silver lower. It's been much more sensitive to what's been going on with the base metals like copper. But it did take out its September high from last year. It's well above 1850, and I think that allows for some positive momentum for silver to play catch up with gold, because the gold to silver ratio is still extremely elevated, and I would expect to see that correct, especially if there continues to be safe haven flight into the metals generally.
All right, so you mentioned copper, and Dr. Copper usually is thought of as an economic gauge. Where it goes, so too goes the economy. Interesting to see that it's not lower today, or it's not declining more. In this knee-jerk risk-off move, you can see it's declining 1.3%, materially behind oil, which is falling out of bed. Why the resilience?
That's a bit surprising. I would expect copper to respond similarly to oil, and we've seen this widening gold to copper ratio, which is usually not a very bullish sign for the broader economy. I think that copper really has a lot of headwinds against it. I don't see it continuing to rally because The stockpiles in London are rather high right
now. Okay, I've heard a lot of people point to this gap between gold and copper. Can you walk us through why this is such an important metric that people watch?
Sure, because as you said, Dr. Copper kind of is the bellwether for the commodities and manufacturing sector. And although we lump gold in with the other commodities, it has this unique monetary property to it. And so comparing gold to copper is really looking at that divergence between what is going on in the real economy and manufacturing, and then what is the sentiment in financial markets. So when gold is higher, that obviously means that fear and uncertainty are usually high. If copper is coming along with it, then that shows that manufacturing and mining are all expecting to see the commodities complex rise along with it. And right now we're seeing the opposite of that. So that's why it's such a key indicator.
So again, gold here up 1.84% today, $1,673 an ounce. Are you sensing, when you talk to your clients, speculation creeping into the market? Are people speculating on gold, saying, boy, this thing's running, I gotta get into it?
More so now, yes. There's definitely a bit of bleed over of FOMO, like we saw in the equity market earlier this year. That's now kind of been transferred over to gold. But I think another reason that you're seeing sort of a speculative fervor for gold is the expectation that central banks are going to continue to ease policy and step in when necessary. Those tools are going to be tested in 2020 for central banks, not just the Fed, but globally, as we've seen with the PBOC has also stepped in with more stimulus. So that is the narrative I'll be watching for the rest of the year. And I think it's going to cause quite a bit of volatility on top of that.
Thank you so much, Everett Millman. Thank you so much for being with us. Millman, precious metals specialist at Gainesville Coins, joining us here in our Interactive Broker Studios.